All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read from verse 17 again on down through probably verse 23 or 24, I suppose. And we'll not cover all of that today. But let's begin reading verse 17. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. This afternoon, we're going to talk about this subject, when one becomes a majority. When one becomes a majority. And I really want to focus in on verses 19 through 22. Verse 19 says, Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So you see the numbers of the prophets of this cult and idolatrous religion of Baal worship, 850. You see all the people of Israel that came to Mount Carmel, along with Ahab as well. And then you see Elijah. And Elijah was certainly in the minority as far as numbers go, but Elijah was the majority because he was on the Lord's side. One of the greatest needs at all times in a society, but especially in times of great apostasy like we are living in today, is for God's people to be willing to step forward for God and His truth, to stand for righteousness. And those who do, pretty much since the beginning of time, are going to be in the minority. It's not the majority that stand for truth or righteousness. And God always has His people, and they are described, as the Bible says, a remnant or a minority. Even in Elijah's day, there was a remnant. 7,000 had not bowed the knee to Baal. Chapter 19 and verse 18 says that very thing. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. There were others in Elijah's day who hadn't bowed to Baal, but Elijah didn't feel like there were others. He felt alone, and it seemed as though he was the only one left. Maybe all the other prophets had been either murdered or reduced to a state of inactivity. They were hiding in caves. But here was Elijah alone standing on Mount Carmel to confront the hundreds who belong to the idolatrous Baal worship. And you know, taking a stand for truth and facing a majority who stand against truth will often leave us feeling lonely. And humanly speaking, it very often appears that we are alone, maybe on your job, maybe in your family. In other aspects of life, you feel like you're the only one in that environment who would stand for truth. But we need to remember, as Elijah did at this point, that when we stand for the Lord, when we stand on biblical truth, we are in the majority because we're standing on God's side. In this passage of Scripture, Elijah comes before all of the people of Israel, and he challenges them with this thought. He says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him." The people were on the fence. The people were divided in their loyalty or in their minds, certainly. And they came to a place of having to decide either to follow God or to totally reject him. And I want to just really look at verse 21 for the time that we have today and consider Elijah's demand for a decision of the people of Israel. Let's read verse 21 again. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." We find in verses 19 and 20 that Elijah summons all the people of Israel together. And then in verse 21, as we just read, he confronts them. He confronts them with one of the key issues of our day and any day. And that is the instability of indecision and double-mindedness. The Word of God speaks often about double-mindedness. In fact, in James, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And Elijah confronts the people with this double-mindedness. And you know, it's easy for God's people sometimes to straddle the fence. It's easy for God's people to not take a definite stand, but what a dangerous position to be in. Because not taking a stand or straddling the fence is not consistent with the reality of God. And it leads to greater instability in every part of our life. In this case, when Elijah calls the people to Mount Carmel and Ahab, we might think that those people thought, you know, it was a time of famine, time of no rain, hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And they were thinking maybe, oh, it's finally time. Elijah's gonna pray and rain is going to come. But both King Ahab and the people of Israel were not ready for God's blessing. They had not repented of their sin. They had not repented from their idolatry and turned to the Lord. They were not ready for God's blessing. There were things that needed to be done in their life, and the Lord had them under judgment still for neglecting His word, for their idolatry. They had not acknowledged their sin yet. And there were some serious issues that God was going to work out in these next verses in the lives of the people of Israel, and that needed to be done before God could bless them. Before we get into the meat of that, though, let me just say this. How much are we like that sometimes? Where we want God's blessing in our life without facing our responsibilities concerning our relationship to Him. As sinful people, we're like that. We want the blessing of God, but we don't often want to follow through with what it requires to have the blessing of God. We want the blessings of God on our life, but we don't really want to follow Him as He demands. In this case, their decision, Elijah challenges the people, and their decision for God or for Baal was to be evidenced by their following Him. Look what he says. "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And so the challenge was, you need to make a choice, but the evidence of your choice needs to be in following him. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." In following after Christ, it's going to have to take a definite decision, because often we'll stand alone. And it's the outward life that is what so often declares what's really going on in our heart. The way we live on the outside so often declares what's really happening in our heart and our life. I want to look at this verse and see Elijah's demand for a decision, but I want to look at it in four parts. We're going to see the problem. We're going to see the question that Elijah asks, the issue that he confronts them with, and then the silence of the people. Consider, first of all, the problem. In verse 21, And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? What was the problem? Well, the basic problem is found in these words, how long halt ye between two opinions? Here were the people in indecision. This was the problem. The word halt here, interesting, it means to limp. It means to be lame. And by implication, it has the sense of hesitation. But the word literally means to limp. You see it used in other places in the New Testament, in Greek, where the man was halt from his youth, etc., etc. It refers to the unsteadiness of a person because of indecision. It's like a person who limps or hesitates between every step that they take. And inevitably, it causes delay, or they're not as strong or stable because of that limp. And it gives us a striking picture of what we are like when we're double-minded about our commitment to the Lord. The word or the phrase between two opinions means a divided mind. There's an adjective with the same root that is translated as vain thoughts in Psalm 119. I want you to turn over there with me. Hold your place here and look at Psalm 119. This is translated as vain thoughts here, but it's an adjective with the very same root, which means a divided mind. In Psalm 119 and verse 113, the Bible says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now note the contrast of this, especially in context of verse 112. 112 says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. There's some resolution there, isn't there? There's some determination there. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway. There's not a divided mind there or double-mindedness. But then you get to verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. The double-mindedness, when not committed to being obedient to the word of God, is very evident here in as the psalmist says, I've inclined my heart to do your word, or to do your will, or to obey your word and perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, those that are double-minded, but I love the Lord and the word of God. And in back in our text, in Elijah's case and the people of Israel, they were clearly divided in their allegiance between belief and commitment to Jehovah God and belief and commitment to Baal. And Elijah, as with the rest of Scripture, demanded a definite decision on the part of the people. He said, how long are you limping around or halting between two opinions with this divided mind? Either if God is God, then serve him. Don't ride the fence. If Baal is, then serve him. You can't keep on riding the fence in indecision. And we cannot walk the fence with the Lord either. Scripture and a true grasp of who the Lord is always demands our full commitment to him. Anything else is not only insane, but it leads to serious consequences that affect every aspect of our life. Indecision leaves us spiritually and morally lame and unstable in all of our ways. If we really believe God, that God is God, and that God's word is true, if we really, really believe that, it demands full allegiance and full commitment to it. We can't ride the fence with the Lord. And Scripture speaks clearly on this because Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says you cannot serve two masters. Turn over there and look at it with me. Matthew 6 and verse 24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This verse warns us that half-hearted commitment to the Lord leads to no real commitment at all. We end up choosing against the Lord in the crucial issues of life. People live that way, though. I mean, they know truth from God's word. They know that God demands allegiance and obedience. They want God's blessing in their life, but they also want to sort of live how they want to live. And they want to believe what they want to believe and justify it somehow that we're serving God and we're pleasing to the Lord, all the while wanting God's blessing in their life. You can't serve God and mammon. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. Turn there, Matthew 12. In verse 30, rather, sorry. Matthew 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus says here, he that is not with me is against me. In practical terms, either we are with the Lord 100%, or we end up standing against him and his plan and his purpose for us as his people. And then James chapter 1, I referenced this already, but note what James says. James chapter 1, in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's inconsistent. And this teaches us that failure to completely rest one's life in God's hands leads to instability that ends up touching every area of life. And the point is, when we see and we know what God expects of us from Scripture, the only right choice is to obey. We can't ride the fence with God in indecision. When we know what the truth is, the only right choice is to follow. The only right choice is to obey. In Israel's case, the problem was that they were limp. They were lame. Halt. They were hesitating between two opinions. They had a divided mind. They weren't loyal to the Lord. And Elijah demands that a decision needs to be made. And he says, you're unstable in your ways. And we are too when we know what God expects of us from Scripture, but we don't obey. Then the question, consider the question back in our text. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? The question here is with the words, how long? The prophet Elijah was asking them, what was it going to take to wake them up? How long are you going to live this way? How much of God's discipline would they have to endure before they realized the way of life that they had chosen wasn't working? They had been in a state of no rain for 3.5 years. Drought and famine and misery. And Elijah says, how long are you going to stay in this state? What's it going to take to wake you up? How much of God's discipline are you going to endure before you realize that what you've chosen to do is not working? Not only had God closed the blessings of rain, but he was revealing the emptiness and the barrenness of the life that they had chosen. The God that they were supposedly serving was to be the God of thunder and lightning. How impotent was he? What was it going to take? And the question here relates to two things. First of all, it relates to time. He said, how long? And it brings out the principle of the hardening of one's heart as time passes. When we reject the Lord, when we are not obedient to what is true and what we know is true, and we continue to put it off, there's a process that happens that begins to harden our heart. Pharaoh had all kinds of opportunity to let the people of Israel go. But because Pharaoh rejected the Lord, his heart was hardened to his own destruction. Hold your place here and look at Hebrews chapter 3 with me. The nation of Israel was no different. They had hardened their heart against God to their own hurt. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness." Skip down to verse 10. "Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." It grieves the Lord when he's trying to get us to obey, but there is indecision. Not only does it relate to time, but it relates to the effect. The effect that it had, just limping along with a walk that is lame and weak, and it calls attention to a walk that is far from God's plan for our life. We might try to go and live life think that it's going to be pleasing to us, and we make our plans and we set all these things out, and there's not real commitment to the Lord, and we're following after this path that we think is going to bring happiness to our life. But in reality, it's taking us farther and farther away from God's plan of abundant living for believers, for his children, right in the center of his will. Elijah says to these people, what's it going to take? How long? You've been experiencing the judgment of God for 3.5 years. What else is going to have to be done before you wake up and realize that the direction you're going is only going to lead to your demise? And God is not pleased. But then consider the issue. The issue. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The issue here is seen in the conditional clause that begins with the word if. Elijah says, if God is God, then follow him. If Baal is, then follow him. If calls attention to the reality of the God of the Scripture. And here we see the principle that the reality of God, who is obviously the Creator, who is sovereign God, he demands that mankind, the creature, trust him and then follow him, and anything else is just absurd. There's not a balancing act or a blending or a melding of these different gods. No, Elijah says, no, if God is God, he's the one true God, you must serve him. There's not a Baal is also God as well, and you can pick and choose what you want. Elijah points out that both of these paths cannot possibly be right. They were definitely in a state of indecision. They couldn't ride the fence. Elijah demands a decision, and so did the Lord. Both of these paths cannot be right. And contrary to modern opinion, there's only one truth. One must be right, and the others are wrong. There's only one truth, and it's God's. You don't have your truth, and I don't have my truth, and they're all equally right, even though they disagree with each other. There's only God's truth. And if we know what God expects, we must obey. When we limp along or totter along in indecision about our trust and our commitment to God, we need to remind ourselves or be reminded of Elijah's challenge and the ultimate issue. If God is God, there is no other choice. You need to obey God. Follow him. Don't try to sit on the fence. in indecision. There might be something that God is compelling you in your life. There might be something in your life that the Word of God speaks on. Maybe you see it, but you haven't committed to the Lord. You're riding the fence in indecision. But if you know what truth is or what God has spoken to your life about, you're compelled to obey the Lord or its rejection of Him. God demands a decision and He demands full allegiance. And when Elijah confronted the people with this, what was their reaction? What was their response? Well, the end of verse 21 says, "The people answered him not a word." Why did they do that? Because there was no justification for them. There was no argument that they could give to justify their iniquity or their idolatry and their actions. They were being held accountable, and it was either follow the Lord or reject Him. I'm reminded of Job's response to God when God revealed Himself to Job. Remember how Job had repeatedly proclaimed his innocence to his friends. His friends were no friends at all, really. They were no help to him. But he had repeatedly proclaimed his innocence to his friends. But in the process of time, Job became pretty demanding with God. And Job didn't necessarily understand why God was allowing this in his life. And he got pretty demanding with the Lord. But what happened when God revealed Himself to Job? The Lord came on the scene. He began to reveal His majesty to Job. He said, "Job, where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that?" And after God begins to speak to Job, where He reveals His awesomeness and His majesty, it brought Job to silence. There was nothing he could say. And the Bible says in Job chapter 40 and verse 4 that Job said, "I'm going to put my hand on my mouth. I can speak no further." He understood. And likewise, when faced and challenged with the truth of what Elijah had said, the people were speechless. There was no room for self-justification. They had no argument that they could give that would make sense against this challenge that Elijah made, and neither do we. There is no argument, at least one that makes any sense, against total commitment of our lives to follow after the Lord. Any other decision is really nonsense. We need to come to the place where we recognize that I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to the Lord. This life is not mine. God did not save me so that I could live life to myself. He saved me so that I could bring glory to Him. He's created me in Christ Jesus unto good works. He is my master. And it has to be a heart attitude of full allegiance and surrender to the Lord. Lord, I am yours. I'm loyal to you. I want to serve you. Here's my heart's desire. Just show me and just use me. We need to come to that same conclusion when it comes to truth from Scripture that our life needs to be measured against and aligned with. We need to come to the conclusion that if the Word of God says this and my life is contrary to this, I'm compelled to conform to the Word of God. I can't live and pick and choose the parts that I want to be obedient to and then the parts that I'll stand with God on and the parts I'm going to keep for myself. It's absurd in view of the fact that God is God. He's the Creator. He's all-powerful. And besides that, what He's done for us in Christ and the emptiness of life without Him, it's absurd to think that we could just live any other way. Why would we? When the reality of the true God and His claims on our life begins to grip us, we find that there is nothing else that we can do. No sensible choice but to trust Him to the degree that we commit our lives fully to Him. This passage of Scripture, verse 21, teaches us that when we attempt to straddle the fence, we become like a lame man, a crippled man. We're lame. We limp. We hesitate. But furthermore, James chapter 1 teaches us that straddling the fence in indecision creates all kinds of instability that assaults every other area of life. He's unstable in all of his ways. If God has revealed something to you in your life, then you need to make the decision. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord. There is no other reasonable choice. But then when you think about it, why would I want to choose anything else after what God has done for me? I yield my life to the Lord. I want to obey Him. I want to please Him. We don't have time either to keep riding the fence. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, then obey, follow Him, serve Him, yield to Him, commit to Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd help us, Lord, to have this truth before us always. It's easy to get sidetracked, and it's easy to live in indecision when we lean on our own understanding or our own ways of thinking, or maybe we don't really see why this is important or that's important, but yet God's Word speaks so clearly on it. Lord, correct our thinking and help us to have the mindset that God is God. He demands allegiance. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to side with the Lord. I'm going to stand on the Lord's side. And Lord, I pray that that would be the desire of everyone here. I'm Yours. I belong to You by right of creation, by what You've done for me on Calvary's cross, the new life You've imparted to me. Lord, I just want to please You. Lord, I choose to stand on Your side. And then people of Israel, as we'll see later in this passage, eventually, once they saw the power of God, eventually they humbled themselves before the Lord.